T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Another starter, you know, the first team I would shop to would be Atlanta, because they got plenty to get, you know, to give away, and their minor league system is stocked, and I think you could come away with some pretty good arms and maybe a pretty good person to put out on the field every day. So, you know, Milwaukee is another group that could use that. What are they going to do? I think their window is short. They don't make the playoffs this year. I'm not sure what happens to them moving forward. So I think it's really interesting. I think the Yankees have major league ready pieces that you could go get, and you could do really well in trading a couple guys there, because I think they will try to improve their bullpen as well as their rotation, because I think there's pressure on them to move. The other question is, do you send a big bullpen piece to the Dodgers? I don't know if San Francisco would do that. Their minor league system is good. Houston's is very good. They're in line for a starter, and they could use a left-handed reliever. So I think there's a lot of options out there for San Francisco. It's just how patient they want to be, and I think if they are going to move them, they should try to get the best package possible.
Joe, I understand that as a former manager, or maybe somebody who wants to manage, nobody likes to talk about jobs in season. The fact, though, is that Bruce Bochy is in his last year here, and the Giants, they're going to need a manager at the end of the year. Would you be interested in that job?
Well, I mean, I would look at any job and be interested, because I do want to manage again. And I'm not saying that, you know, if Bruce wanted to come back, God bless him, he should come back, because he has been fabulous. He's a Hall of Fame manager. But I'm interested in any job that someone is interested in me. That's the bottom line, because this is not like, you know, I'm a lawyer or an orthopedic surgeon that I can go to all these different markets and get a job. You know, you have 30 markets, 28 of them I probably have a possibility of going to, and there's probably two that I don't. And a lot of teams have just hired new managers, so the numbers are limited. But I'm definitely interested in managing again.
Radio.com MLB insider Joe Girardi joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to go back to the comparison to 2016 and the Yankees. When you were managing them, they're playing the Giants. I think very similar record, right around 500. Andrew Miller, Aroldis Chapman are on the team. I mean, how easy or difficult was the conversations that you guys had as an organization about, okay, we have to move these guys, we're not good enough? How did that all play out?
Well, Cash talked about it. I talked about it with Hal Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees, and I said, even other years, if you don't think we're good enough to win the World Series, if we can't add enough, then we ought to do everything we can to improve ourselves for next year to try to win. And we made those trades, and all of a sudden, 2017, the Yankees took off. We kind of treaded water, you know, from about 2013 through 2016, just because our players got older. They weren't producing at the levels they were earlier in their career, and we kind of got ourselves in a tough spot. So, to me, it wasn't a hard conversation, because, yeah, I feel great when we make the playoffs, but it feels empty when you lose in the playoffs. So, really, the goal is to win the World Series. So, do whatever it takes to give us a chance to win that World Series as quick as possible, even if it means kind of, and I don't mean it ever, I never gave up. I mean, we fought even in 2016 when we made those moves and played pretty well. But even if you feel like it's not waving the white flag, but you're doing whatever you can to improve yourself the next year, and as a manager, I'm always going to fight to win no matter what the situation is.
Joe, I want to ask you about the Oakland A's, who are also hot here in the Bay Area, 4.5 games behind the Houston Astros. They're playing really well. Matt Chapman's looking like a MVP candidate, even though there's a guy named Mike Trout down in L.A. who's probably going to win that award if he remains healthy. What do the A's do? Because we see Billy Beane make a move for Homer Bailey last week. Nice little sneaky move. He wins his first start with the A's yesterday against the Mariners. Should the A's make additional moves? Is this time to just go for it like they did a few years ago when they traded for John Lester and traded their cleanup hitter, Yoenis Cespedes, for John Lester? And I know it didn't work out for them, but that's the type of move it feels like the A's would need to make to jump over the Astros and maybe contend with the Yankees and the Indians and the Twins.
Yeah, I think they would have to add some starting pitching, and it's what they're willing to give up. Now, they have some pretty good young starting pitching in their minor leagues, and I'm sure they don't want to give that up. So it really comes down to, you know, could they add a piece like a Stroman, you know, where they have – it's a good deal for next year as well. I think they're going to look more for those than necessarily just a guy that they can just rent for a short period of time. But the A's have gotten back in it. I'm not exactly sure how, because Trinan and Trevino have struggled this year. But it seems like, you know, around the 70-game mark, the A's like to take off, and that's what they've done, and they're playing extremely well. And now they're, you know, trying to chase down Houston, and Houston seems to be running into some problems. They're not pitching as well as they did. Maybe some of those starters are getting a little fatigued. But the A's, I think they're for real, and they're going to stay around, because I think there's a confidence in that club that will help them stay around.
Joe, I want to ask you about managing in New York. We're in the Bay Area, and Kevin Durant's just left the Bay Area for Brooklyn. I know it's not the New York Knicks, but one of the things that was said all through the season when people thought he may leave is he will not be able to handle the pressure of New York. He will really struggle with the media in New York. How did you deal with the media in New York? Do you think their reputation as tough is a little overblown? And I don't want to say what do you have to do to win them over, but what do you have to do to kind of gain the respect of the fans through the media?
Well, I think, number one, you have to play hard. That's the bottom line. You need to play hard and be honest. And when you don't play well, you just say, you know what, I had a bad day. And when I look at a guy like Kevin Durant, he's probably not ever going to be able to do as much as they want him to do. It's going to be physically impossible. Like, I thought A-Rod could never live up to his contract. He could have driven in 150 runs, and it still wouldn't have been enough. So I think you have to understand that going in, and it's because, you know, the organizations in New York want to win so bad. The Brooklyn Nets want to win so bad. So the best thing I could tell KD was just go be yourself. Be who you are, and just be honest. When you have a bad day, you have a bad day. Be honest with the media, and just go from there.
One of 20 managers in the history of the game to win a World Series as both a player and a manager. Radio.com, MLB insider Joe Girardi here on 95.7 The Game. Joe, good stuff, man. That was really fun.
Gentlemen, have a great day, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Joe Girardi. That was Radio.com sports insider Joe Girardi here on 95.7 The Game.
So what did you fellas think about his answer, your last question there, Steiny, about Kevin Durant in New York City? Like, whatever you do in New York, it's not going to be good enough. And I think of the guy Kevin Durant is, or who he is, and how sensitive he comes off. I don't know if that's the best thing for Mr. Kevin Durant.
See, I think it's overblown. I really do. I totally agree with Ian Eagle. If you play hard in New York, you won't have a problem. Even if you stink. As long as they know you're playing hard, they won't crucify you. But you got to play hard, and you can't do some of the stuff Durant's done in terms of the little jabs at the coach and stuff like that, because that's what kind of alienated him a little bit here and isolated him a little bit, because the Warriors are such a tight-knit team and franchise.
Right.
Those little... we play off of joy and all that kind of stuff. It only sounds like a line, JD, but it's more important than that.
Well, I think you could make a case that you're more apt to get away with little stuff like that here than you are in
right.
the Bay Area.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, I go back to
New
this.
York.
I don't know
yeah,
if you
yeah,
guys have
right.
followed
Absolutely.
This thing between Dennis Eckersley and David Price.
Oh, yeah, that was from last year, right?
And all how they were, you know, they had it. They got into it, and Eckersley said, you know, hey, I'm not worried about what he's saying, and David Price addressed it.
Yep.
And then there was a profile done on Dennis Eckersley within the last week where Eckersley referenced it again.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And to that point, David Price in the clubhouse after the new
right.
profile with Eckersley, he got asked about it again, like within the last 2 days.
Wow.
And he flipped out again about it. Having to answer questions about it. Hey, I was going to apologize to him. Eckersley said, hey, I don't even care.
Right.
But the point being, any little thing you say or do, you're going to get asked about it the next time you're available. You don't get a pass. You don't get to say no.
Nope.
And then if you start not showing up to availabilities, you're going to start getting asked about not showing up to availabilities over and over. That's the difference. I think that's where maybe Durant could wind out in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good call because you're right. If he had said, I thought we moved off of Joy in New York, I mean, that line just came and went.
That's
really.
The first 10 questions
we
the next time you're available.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly right.
And if you want to put that off a week, then it's going to be then you're going to have 10 questions about that and 10 questions about why you haven't talked in a week.
Well, hell, we saw a little of that, a fraction of that this past year when we were trying to figure, how long has it been since Durant's talked? And I don't know if it got up to a week or not.
9 days, I think.
He might have spoken after a game, but in availability time. But yeah, no, that I agree. That's the one.
And it's more accepted, I think, here to just kind of let it go. Like, there's very few people that'll push that envelope because for the most part, I think out here it's more like, you know, nobody really wants to be that guy. Whereas if you're working in New York or we're doing this show in New York,
Boston,
it's,
Philly,
any of those markets, it's you're not looked at weirdly if you're the guy asking that question.
Exactly.
So you're going to ask that question.
No doubt.
You go, boom, 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 boom.
If you don't ask that question out there in the East Coast, luckily my roommate's from Philadelphia, so I've gotten to travel out there a couple times and just listening to their talk radio and seeing how questions are presented to players. If you don't ask those questions that we necessarily don't ask out here in the Bay Area, they're going to rip the writer.
Yeah.
They're going to rip the host. I just... You know, why is it such a difference? I know you grew up on the East Coast. I know West Coast, we're chill. We got the sunshine. You know, people think San Francisco has palm trees, but we don't. But in L.A., it's laid back and chill. Why is it so much more aggression on the East Coast than the West Coast? Like,
know
what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it's just, it's a perception and it's a stereotype that, kind of true. I mean, it's kind of true. The East Coast is different than the West Coast, and they're a little more assertive and a little more aggressive and a little more straightforward, and they let less things roll off their back and all that kind of stuff. Why?
Because those headlines in New York, right, in Philadelphia, you see the New York Post and the New York Daily News. Like, what's Kevin Durant going to do when he does get back on the court when it's like, when they – basically just rip them on that national headline on the front page of a newspaper. Like, good luck.
And here's the other thing. And I know it's hard for Kevin Durant to do this. But every player, in a city or an area who becomes kind of bigger than their athletic profile, they all use the media to enhance themselves, not to diminish themselves. Look at a guy like Charles Barkley. He never won a title in Philadelphia. He's the most popular guy in Philly. Why? Well, because he played hard every game. He was honest. And he kind of had a little fun with it.
Yeah.
It's like Barkley can say, oh, that guy's a horse's behind. And it comes off in a much better way than if other people would say it. And
Iverson's another player there.
No
they
doubt.
Love him. He didn't win a championship.
No doubt. And that's the part I think Kevin Durant's going to have to need. Just take yourself a little less seriously. Well, have a little more fun.
And to your point, Steiny, if he does that and he plays hard, he's fine.
No doubt.
And that's where I actually agree with you in that he can get through it and not have it be an issue. But the little things that he did from time to time here will be 10 times a bigger deal than they were out here. And in his mind, he thought they were a huge deal when he was here.
Right. Right, and I do think that's it's not that the media is hard on you. It's that they're kind of relentless, and it's kind
it's
of two different things.
You're getting asked about what's going on today,
right. Exactly.
And you're going to get asked about it tomorrow,
right.
And you're
going to
get. I mean, it feeds. You know, you pull a guy out of the game, You know, and the guy you put in gives up a home run, you're getting asked about
sure.
it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then the right. next day, if you do the opposite, you're getting asked about that. And it can start to feed the story in,
no doubt.
In some way. I mean,
it becomes the story, right. really. I told you guys, I spent about 45 minutes last night watching YouTube and just seeing, looking at John Tortorella stuff, the NHL coach. I mean, it's like that became bigger than anything he was as a coach. And if you don't know, John Tortorella is
he's just
a great quote. He's straightforward. He curses. His decorum may be not the best, but that's what became his signature in a way. And in fact, he even talked about how when he got hired, not only in Vancouver, but in Columbus, that was a big thing. You know, you gotta, what's the deal with you in the media? What's the deal with you in the media? Not what kind of style are we going to play
right.
or what do you believe in?
Right.
What about the media?
Right.
And so that's kind of, that is a danger of trying to take the media on like Durant sometimes tries to do, even if it's in a passive aggressive way.
On the Chilton Auto Body text line from the 415, Bonte, we do have palm trees. Dolores and Market have plenty. I'm sorry, Dolores Street does have a lot of palm trees, but that's about it.
How about the Bay Bridge?
Bay Bridge has trees?
Yeah.
Where?
You didn't know that?
Well, there's
the new Bay Bridge section.
Artificial. I mean, you could put them.
I think they're real.
Artificial?
No.
But I mean, you.
You could plant them anywhere?
They were put there.
No doubt. Oh, yeah. Oh. Are you talking about native?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're native.
I mean, I think that was Bonte's
point. No, I mean,
point.
I didn't even know there were trees on the Bay Bridge, though.
But that was right, your yeah. point. Was
well,
like,
I was just saying, he was just, no palm trees. Just, you know, like L.A.'s got palm trees
yeah,
everywhere,
sure.
right? San Diego, San Francisco really doesn't have palm trees all like that. I guess Dolores
I got
Street,
you
know what I mean?
I
so
you.
The guy on the text line is just saying, Dolores and Market does have palm trees.
Yeah, I know palm trees aren't, whatever, native to San Francisco. And the Bay Area, I still want them here.
You feel good when you see them.
I love palm trees.
So it's like paradise,
like a palm tree?
It's like paradise, right? You see palm trees, you feel like, oh, this is going to be a good day.
There's like, nobody out there that doesn't like the palm tree. The palm trees, the positives outweigh the negatives so much. What's the worst thing about a palm tree? It's that the things are... You know, they can stick you.
Yeah.
They're little
spiky leaves. Yeah.
And sometimes they can house some rats. Other than that,
palm trees house rats?
They put you in a. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah,
JD,
old,
you knew
old
that?
Ones.
I did not.
Yeah. Oh, if not the vibrant ones, but like the old ones that haven't been attended to. Sometimes. We got two palm trees in our yard.
Wow. Yeah. Look, palm tree expert.
Yeah, kind of mini palm trees, little baby
and
palm trees.
Palm trees out in front of the ballpark.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oracle Park, that's true. Got the long palm trees there. From the 408, Moose chimes in. What did Moose say here? Oh, we lost the text here. Oh, here it is. It's not really aggressive. It's that East Coasters put the damn rat on the table. There's no speculation. They go straight to the point. I don't think anybody here in the Bay Area really beats around the bush, do they? In the media?
I don't know. Okay, 510 says, I have a rental property in Walnut Creek with a swimming pool and a palm tree. Palm trees stink on your property. Why? Why? What? A 510, you got to get back to me and tell me specifically why a palm tree stinks. Because
the great Don, JD, we know Don. You know Don Steiny from the Warriors. Works
oh,
with
yeah.
the Warriors.
Yeah.
Just sent me a text. I move here
oh, sure.
from New York for the palm trees. We're going to put that on a poll on Twitter, on our Twitter page at 95.70 game. Everybody's going to redwoods over palm trees from the 775.
Well, yeah, but you can't fit a redwood
right.
in your backyard for the most part. 707 says, I'm an arborist here in the Bay, and palm trees are the worst with all capital letters. Why? Why?
Now, look, the tree that'll get you in trouble is the magnolia tree because the leaves.
That's
just
a dirty tree.
I don't like that tree. Yeah.
You get leaves that just, everywhere.
I don't like that tree.
By the way, the 707, the arborist, real quick, can you replant lemon trees? And can you replant, what's the other tree we have? A pomegranate tree.
Pomegranate tree. Ooh.
Because we planted some trees in our backyard, but we didn't put them in the right places. You know what I mean? Now
right.
we want to move them one way here, one way there. Arborists out there, can you help me out?
That's Bonte's Tiny Guru. Dude, you like palm trees? Yes or no? Go to Twitter right now and call us about palm trees. Hey, do you like palm trees? Do you like Giants? Do you like the way they're playing? Are they still one of the worst teams in baseball, in your opinion? Plus, rapid fire at 1 o'clock, Elena. You don't want to miss that. What's more likely, Laney? The A's winning the AL West?
A's.
Or the Giants winning a wild card? That's coming up.
That's nice.
Rapid fire, 1 o'clock. And then we'll take your questions on palm trees, because Steiny apparently is a palm tree expert.
Here?
I don't know how we got here. What's the latest? What's happening here on 95.7 The Game, Laney?
What's happening on The Game, brought to you by palm trees? Just kidding. It's actually ticket crushers. Baseball is on fire on both sides of the bridge, and the Giants are headed home after a 4-game sweep in Colorado, back at AT&T Park after a 6-1 road trip. Madison Bumgarner takes the mound for what could be his last home start in San Francisco. He'll face the Mets, who are on a 4-game win streak of their own. Who better to talk about the Giants' hot streak than the manager himself? That's right. Bruce Bochy is joining the Damon Bruce Show with Darren Smith at 3:30. That's 3:30 today here from Boch. The A's have won 6 in a row themselves as they start a 7-game road trip tonight in Minnesota against the first-place Twins. NFL Insider Week is going strong here on 95.7 The Game. Next up, Adam Kaplan previews the season at 3 o'clock with Damon and Darren. I'm Elena Matsourakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Matt Steinmetz, John Dickinson, Bonte Hill. You just heard from Joe Girardi last segment. He said a lot of good stuff. We'll play some audio from that in a second. But Steiny, you started something here with palm, or maybe it's my fault for reading the text from the 415 about palm trees. Because now everybody on the Chit Auto Body text line, they're palm tree experts. They're tree experts. And you have 2 palm trees, which I had no idea. I had no idea you had 2 palm trees in the backyard.
They're kind of mini palm trees, but they grow. They do grow. I don't know if they're ever going to be super tall.
Now, do they impede the court?
No. Oh, my God, no. No, they're off to the side. We have a little area.
Got a little basketball court?
With a fire pit.
More than a little.
What? Steinmetz, how you living, man?
It's like it's a backyard basketball court's dream, really.
Fire pit and the basketball? Wait a minute. Can I get an invite one day? Like,
sure.
I want to check this out.
Of course. No doubt about it. As long as you don't bring Guru.
Oh, I won't.
See, he's not here, so I'm going to kill him.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
just absolutely rip him.
Because Guru, he'll invite you somewhere, or he'll say he's coming through,
yeah, that's,
and he won't ever come through.
You know what? He's Mr. Unreliable. He should have gotten the headline in the second Oklahoma City newspaper.
How many times he said, hey, B, I'm on my way to Knicks? Never showed up.
He's also a big, oh, dude, I forgot.
Yeah, he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. B, I got to check your apartment out. How come you never invited me?
Hey, let's go Steel Reserve is going to combine a little Giants talk with some palm trees.
I can't believe
what
this.
What more could we ask for? What's up, 211?
What's up, fellas? Hey, check this out. Palm trees, if you do not maintain them, those leaves will dry out and kill somebody when they're falling with the jagged edges. I'm not even playing. I had one. My parents would take care of it. I wasn't going up there to do anything, so that thing was so tall. And those things would drop on a windy day.
Yeah.
I better watch out. Hey, check this out. On the Giants, they better not make that wild card. Because I tell you what, I'm a diehard Dodger fan. And I tell you what, if the Giants get in, we don't want to see none of them, because they will do us dirty, bro.
Whoa.
I'll tell you what, 211 Steel Reserve just... Yeah. Coming with, there's so much integrity there. Thank you so much. Admitting he's a Dodger fan, and that the Giants give him a little trouble.
He's afraid of the Giants. I've never heard a Dodger fan, JD, say that they were afraid of the Giants. Every Dodger fan I've met, they don't care for the Giants. They're never afraid of them. Steel Reserve, he's a classic.
I wouldn't want to play the Giants if I were the Dodgers in a while.
Nothing good could happen.
It's just in a best of five.
Oof. That would be juicy. That would be juicy.
When Bumgarner's going to get two starts.
Oh, that would be juicy. Let's go to, who is this? Yard Doctor. Yard Doctor in Napa. He has some advice on trees.
All right, let me get my pen.
Get the pen out, Steiny. Yard Doctor. You're on 95.7 The Game. What you got for us? What type of advice on palm trees do you have for us today?
Well, for the palm trees, I'm with the 211. It's like a lot of stuff. You put it in, you don't just turn your back. You need to take care of it. You need to get somebody monkey up there and cut those dead leaves before they dent your car or, you know, kill somebody's baby on a sidewalk. because they drop. I always worry in the high winds that they're going to actually tip over, but I really never have seen one tip over. So they're not my favorite. They don't belong here. As far as the magnolias go, hey, thank you, people, for planting magnolia trees. I mean, that's job security for the yard doctor. They make a mess all year round, okay? So I'm good with them. They're a mess. I clean it up. You want just a little shade tree, get yourself a Chinese pistache. You could Google it up, okay? It's a pretty trouble-free tree. It's a pretty tree. You get beautiful fall colors in the fall. Chinese pistache.
Pistache.
And
all right.
Yeah, pistache.
I'm looking at it right now.
As far as the Giants go, you know what I kind of think is that they wouldn't have 2010, 2012, 2014 if they had sat pat and or sold off. Because those were like miracle seasons that they could have screwed the pooch and gave up on that, but they didn't. And, you know, I mean, thanks for the memories. And I'm kind of looking at this year as a kind of that kind of year where you need to find a couple of guys, you know, pick up a couple of position players, maybe, you know, make one more move for a really frontline starter. And who knows, maybe the magic could happen again. And, you know, it could get scary in October.
Thanks a lot, Yard Doctor.
That's a great call.
Rack it all.
That's a great, great call.
Absolutely rack that whole call.
The Giants, that's a little revisionist history. The Giants teams that won the World Series were far superior to this.
I was just focused on the trees, JD.
I know.
But you know what?
There's this revisionist history that these Giants teams were just a myth. Like, they were damn good baseball teams.
Right.
Now, were they the Warriors, you know, going out, setting records every night with all-stars and Hall of Famers everywhere? No. But these were damn good teams. Let's not get that twisted.
But there's absolutely no doubt that the Giants past, and I'm going to say recent past since 2010, it's a factor, at least among the fans, in terms of which direction to go.
Right.
When I wouldn't say their wins were a miracle, but if you want to call them magic, those three titles were magic. Well, the reason the word magic means like ultra special, it doesn't happen. So you can't count on magic, and yet they have had some in the past. So it would lead you to believe every once in a while, you know, you got to get them in. Get them in and anything can happen. That I understand from a Giants fan.
Let's go out to Charlie in New York City. We'll get off the palm trees and the Giants for just a second. Charlie wants to talk about New Yorkers and their aggressiveness here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, what's up? I can't offer anything about palm trees.
No kidding.
I have no knowledge of palm trees. I can discuss rats. I can discuss pigeons. Nothing about palm trees. There is definitely something to the whole aggressive, definitely New Yorkers are very aggressive people, very impatient, very abrupt. I think it has a lot to do with there's a slight level of hostility, friendly hostility. That's why I don't think someone like Durant will ultimately do well. I think he's slightly too sensitive to survive in New York. Yeah, a player who I thought would have done really well in New York, if they were able to pull it off, was Russell Westbrook, because the dude plays with his hair on fire. He gives 150% every night. I think New Yorkers would have embraced Westbrook completely. He like the callers Giraldi said, they just want you to play as hard as you can play. They don't obviously they care if you win or lose. But anyway, real quick story about a typical New York situation. Now, as you know, I'm a runner, so I'm running up towards Central Park. A woman was walking her dog, a little dog, and I saw it at the last second, jumped out of the way, and she says, "Watch where you're blanking going, please." And I turned around and I said, "Go blank yourself." And we both started laughing, and I just kept running. So it's like that friendly hostility is what New York is all about. Anyway, guys, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Let's go to Philmo Mike. He wants to talk about Girardi.
Philmo, what's happening, Philmo Mike?
Oh, man. Man, a great story from Charlie right there. I love hearing Charlie with that New York accent. I love it. Real quick story about San Francisco and gentrification. It's crazy. So, Third Street, if you know Third Street, right?
Yep.
There's places where you can kind of like park, like in the stall. So, I'm parked in the stall. A person not from New York, probably from Kansas, Timbuktu somewhere, has her baby stroller, and she's like, "You need to move your car." I'm like, "This is a parking stall." She tells me I need to buy a smaller car.
Philmo.
Story.
I thought you were going to talk about Girardi, and if not Girardi, at least palm trees or something.
My bad. Girardi is right. But the problem is the Giants team, the caller just mentioned it. The Giants team, we ain't never had the best team. So it's like, who knows when to go for the run? Like Girardi was saying, like, if you feel like you have a team good enough to win it, then you do it or you make the trade. But we don't know. If we would have made trades back then, like your boy said two callers ago, 10, 12, and 14, we may not even have made the playoffs or the wild card. So the GM, Joe talked about it this morning. I do not envy his position one bit because this win streak has kind of like, what do you call it?
Rekindled.
It has put a mirage over things, and you don't know where to go. You guys have a great show like y'all been doing.
Thanks, Philmo Mike. Philmo Mike's great. He's a hooper, too. He can hoop.
I don't doubt it.
He can
I don't
hoop.
Doubt it. No, that's – well, I did think, you know, Girardi – the thing he said that I thought was interesting was, yeah, the Giants probably wish they'd be a lot either really good or really bad. But they're kind of right in the middle, which is better, I think, than most people thought.
Let's hear from Girardi on what he had to say about Farhan, what Farhan's going to have to deal with over the next 2 weeks.
I don't envy Farhan one bit because I think he's in a real tough situation. And I think the best thing that could happen in the next 10 or 12 days is that it becomes clear who you really are. Are you the team that didn't hit the first 3 months, or are you this team that's going to hit the rest of the way through? And if you are, then maybe you do make a run.
I'm looking at the numbers here just because it's really bugging me. The Giants are 47-49 right now after 96 games.
Right.
2010, they were 53-43 at this point. So 10 games over 500, that would be good enough for the top wild card spot, and they'd be, what, maybe 7-8 games back of the Dodgers.
Right.
In 2012, they were 54-42, so they were 12 games over 500. And I'm going through 2014 right now as we speak. They were 53-43.
So what you're saying is when they were at this point in years past, they were better.
And they were clear cut in the race in all of those years. You're in the division race. You're in the wild card race at the very least. And in fact, they were a half game, I'm looking at, they were a half game after 96 games out of first place.
2014.
In the West in 2014.
Right. Do you remember 2014, though? They went into a crazy tailspin in 2014,
they
if
did.
I recall.
And it was right
remember
around
that?
This time.
Right around this time where they just started losing games. And you're like, man, this team stinks. And they barely got into that wild card game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, almost said the Steelers. The Pittsburgh Pirates, and obviously that bummed in, and those playoffs were phenomenal and led them to a World Series. But around that time at 14, it was weird because they were just losing games left and right. And I'm like, this team stinks. They stunk. But the Dodgers were losing too. And so the Giants stayed in the race. They stayed in the race. They got in the wild card. And the rest is history. So I don't – look, this National League is different. Like, outside of the Dodgers, and maybe the Cubs, JD, like, this thing's up for grabs. Like, the Nationals don't blow me away. Sure, they have a nice lineup. They have three really good starting pitchers. But their bullpen is a little outside of Sean Doolittle. I'm not afraid of them. The Brewers, we just saw the Brewers. They have pitching issues. Outside of Yelich, their lineup has been in a bit of a funk. So maybe 82, 83, 84 games does get you a wild card. Maybe this is a year where you don't need to win 88 games to make the wild card.
We'll see. I mean, 86 is the least that the wild card has ever, how many wins has led to a wild card. Let's go to Will in Marin. Will, what's happening, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I don't have much on palm trees. I've grown up in Marin my whole life, so all I've seen is redwood trees. So sorry, I'm kind of blank there. But as to the Giants, I feel like Farhan's done a great job of making this kind of like an audition year. Like, yes, this is a very fun run, and I'm having, you know, a great time watching it, and it's really good to know that the past few months that two runs isn't the ceiling. Like, if a team scores two runs, you're not like, all right, I can flip the channel and watch something else because we're probably not going to come back. That's not the case at all. We've been actually very competitive, so it's good. And when I say audition year, I mean Farhan's been very good at bringing people up. Like, for example, you know, we've had, you know, Michael Reed came up, Connor Joe came up. They didn't do anything. They were gone. Tyler Austin came up. He's been hitting, you know, even, you know, just other people. I think it's good. He's just figuring out what he really has. And I think that we still should sell and build for the future, because even though it's fun, I mean, let's say we do get into the playoffs, we make a run, we get rid of the little prospects that we do have and nothing happens, then I feel like we're in a deeper hole. So I think we should just stand pat, and just do what we got to do and enjoy the ride while we got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, he's done a nice job of just shuffling through back into the roster, guys. If a guy doesn't work, you're done. You're gone. Connor Joe, Michael Reed, Gerardo Parra, Solarte was around at the beginning. Like, you shuffle through those guys. He hasn't done much with the big guys and the names that have been around, but he also has added some depth in areas where it's taken some of the pressure off. Stephen Vogt, at points this year, has been more productive than Buster Posey.
Yep.
He's given him a little bit of an offset there. He picks up a guy like Solano, who's now can take a little bit. You know, he's playing Joe Panic's role. He's playing some of Crawford's games. All of a sudden, there's a little less pressure on him. And some of the so it's about adding players that may not have the name value of the players that the Giants have had previously, but are more productive than the guys that the Giants have had that have bigger names, that have allowed those players to be really what they were even when the Giants were great, which is closer to role players, really good right. role players at that.
Rapid fire coming up at 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Rapid fire. And Steinmetz came up with this question. Great question. What's more likely to happen in the 2019 baseball season? The A's winning the AL West or the Giants winning a wild card bid? Rapid fire coming up at 1 o'clock. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. What is more likely to happen? The A's winning the AL West or the Giants winning a wild card berth? We'll do that at 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go out to Jordan in Fresno. Jordan has an interesting story about a palm tree. What's up, Jordan? You're on 95.7 The Game.
All right, guys. I want to start this off by saying I love palm trees. But a couple months ago, I was out going to get the mail, and I felt like this prick on my toe. I looked down, and there's a dead, dried up, dead palm tree leaf, you know, with the spike sticking out right
sure.
behind my foot. So I have this pain in my foot. I can't walk. I get home, I take off my shoe, there's a little red spot. I'm just thinking, okay, it poked me, there's nothing in there. 3 hours later, my foot is still on fire. I went to my fiance's house, and her sister is actually a nurse. I said, hey, look at this, do you think there's something stuck in there? She felt it out, she said, yeah, I think it's stuck. So she did like a mini surgery on me for like 30 minutes. And at the end of it, she pulled out like a half inch palm needle that was stuck in my foot for like 4 hours.
Well, and a simple tweezers wouldn't have pulled that out.
They used tweezers, but they had to cut my foot open just a little bit.
Gotcha.
Well, I can't believe they got palm trees in Fresno. I don't take Fresno as a place that has palm trees.
It's like an irrigated desert out here. It's hot, but we got palm trees planted, you know, just to look nice.
Well, thanks for the call, Jordan. Appreciate it. Really do. I mean, it's an a palm tree spike or whatever they're called. Go right through the bottom of a sneaker. It's a fact.
I've learned more about palm trees in the last 25 minutes than I've ever known about palm trees in my life. Seriously.
And we keep hearing on the text line, well, they don't provide shade. Yes, they do. I mean, they can. For sure.
But at what cost?
Jordan's kind of, he boggled my mind a little bit because he said he went home and he saw this red spot. Then he went to his fiance's house. Like, do they live in separate places?
They're obviously old school. They're doing it the way it should be done. No cohabitation before marriage. They're old school. Give them credit. They're principled. Absolutely principled, Jordan and his gal.
Wow. Wow, I didn't know about that, Steiny. I didn't know about that. Jordan, good call, man. What an interesting day.
You know what's funny is we asked Joe Girardi about the Giants. He's not a fit here, is he? He wouldn't be a fit here, is he?
Glad you brought that up. Because he was a guy I actually wanted a year ago when I thought Bochy would be on the way out with the new GM. Girardi's a guy where you see him win a championship with the Yankees. He takes him to Game 7 at ALCS against the Astros. He gets fired. For some reason, his seat was hot in New York City, even though he won a World Championship or World Series Championship. I don't know if he fits with Farhan and this organization and how they look at baseball, but he's an interesting cat, that's for sure. It's a good name.
I think he's somebody that you'd want the Giants to consider. I'm not sure he's somebody the Giants would consider. And again, this is a trend. It's a stereotype, if you will, of the analytics GMs, of which Farhan Zaidi is. It's that they typically don't want to pay top dollar for a manager. And even the shift from Girardi to Aaron Boone was made under the guise of, the front office is making a lot of the day-to-day decisions, obviously roster, lineups, how long guys pitch for, how you order your bullpen.
Right.
So the manager doesn't need to be as big a part of that. Now, the Giants have done it obviously completely differently, a different era, if you will, with Bruce Bochy. Joe Girardi's going to get paid. He is going to demand that he gets paid because he's got a track record. He's been successful. He's been successful in a big market. He's won a World Series. So it would be interesting to see just how the Giants' new regime reconciles all of that.
Check this out. Alex Cora with the Red Sox last season, I remember they brought up his salary, made $800,000 last season as the manager of the Boston Red Sox. $800,000 managing the Boston Red Sox. That's crazy. That is crazy, and that's where baseball's going. Let's talk to Raider Jim before we hit the break and get to rapid fire. Raider Jim on 580. What's happening, man? You're on 95.7 The Game.
What's happening? How are you?
We're good.
Hey, so I rarely agree with Steinmetz, but on a couple occasions, one of them being bringing the fences in at for the Giants. That's ridiculous. I mean, unless you're going to bring it in for the Giants and put it back out. I don't understand why in the world would you do something so silly as the most beautiful stadium in the league. But besides that, Simets, do not back down on what you've been talking about the last couple of days. It sounds like you're a little bit backing off now, but I'm in total agreement. We're playing out of our minds right now, but that just means that we're getting the golden opportunity to maybe get some good players for some players on our team that might be playing really, really well right now, but they're really not that good. And it's all we're all going to come back to earth real soon. And if we can steal some players and get something of value and get rid of some of the guys, I got to do it.
Thanks, Raider Jim. Appreciate it. I'll take anybody who agrees with me and go with them. I'll stay tough. I'll stay tough, Raider Jim, because I agree with you.
A's fans, Giants fans. Heard a lot from A's fans on Twitter, on the text line. Here's your time to shine. A's fans, Giants fans, we want to hear from all of you. Rapid fire is next, 888-957-9570. And the question is, Which is more likely to happen, the A's winning the AL West or the Giants earning a wild card berth? 888-957-9570. A's fans, Giants fans, where are you at? We want to hear from you right here on 95.7 Again with John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, John Dickinson sitting in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. Bonte Hill alongside me, Matt Steinmetz. And I'll tell you what we're going to do in about 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to play a little rapid fire. 888-957-9570 is the number. And here's the question. Here's the question. What's more likely to happen? The Oakland A's winning the AL West or the San Francisco Giants earning a wild card berth? So we're going to stack up the lines and we're going to go to that in a minute. And by the way, I want to give a shout out. I got to give a shout out.
Shout out. You give shout outs because you always get on Guru about giving shout outs.
Well, you know what? He gives them to his friends who nobody knows. Well, yeah. Nobody knows this person. Sarah over in the business side, JD, and you're going to want to hear
Sarah's
this.
Sarah's my homegirl.
You know, we have the candy jar.
Right.
Well, she's begun to put fruit next to the candy jar. Now, for a while, the fruit was pretty lousy. You know, you get a bad apple. Nobody eats those.
Right.
But there's some nectarines in there. Those white nectarines are in there now, and they're pretty tight. You know, they're pretty taut. I don't like them soft. And so I'm on nectarine number 2 today. I'm feeling pretty good. JD, I know you've...
I enjoy a nectarine, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I'm going from the Tootsie Rolls to the nectarine. I'm hoping it has an impact on my weight.
Yeah, and it will.
That's a peach.
That is a peach. Yeah. But I'm trying myself.
Gotcha.
To eat fruit.
You just can't chase it with 3 beers after the show. That's where you get into trouble.
How long do you have to wait? It's okay. I won't eat my second one then.
All right. Then if you have 3 or 4 beers, then you might need to skip dinner.
That's fine. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or get a workout in.
Hey, by the way, what's this intermediate fasting is a new thing?
What is that? Or intermittent? Is that what they're calling? A fan of the show actually DM'd me on IG talking about that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they got the keto. What is it? The keto diet? I heard mixed reviews about
keto.
That. I don't know. I don't feel good about like what is that intermediate? And what is it? Intermittent diet? An intermittent diet? What is that? What does that consist of?
I think it just means that for a large chunk of the day, you do not eat. Now, I don't know if you do it every day. I don't know if you do it every other day. So anyway, fruits are high in fiber. Fiber makes you less hungry because it takes a while to digest.
Well, Lucas has an answer about that.
It means you eat for only a certain chunk of the day. So say you fast for 12, 14 hours a day. That means you eat over about 10 hours during the day.
Well, see, now, interestingly, I've also heard that the best way to be healthy is not to eat 3 meals. It's to pick 5 or 6 times a day.
Right.
No? You don't like that, JD?
The one thing that I know for sure is that there is no hard, fast rule for everyone.
That's
like,
true.
Everybody is different, and everybody's got to find the thing that works. Like, that has never worked for me. 4, 5, 6 smaller meals
right.
throughout the day or snacking. Snacking, no. That doesn't work for me. I'm more of the 1.5 meals a day plan.
Well, I've been eating 2 meals a day. Nice little smoothie for breakfast, some fruit, some trail mix, and then I'm eating these zoodles. Like my girl made zoodles.
Well, I don't even know what a zoodle is.
Well, it's like you take zucchini and you cut them up into noodles, and you have pesto sauce.
I'm out.
It's no very interesting taste.
Yeah, so you're not eating pasta, but it's like you're eating pasta.
Exactly.
It's like cauliflower,
pesto sauce.
Like cauliflower rice.
Cauliflower is a different story. I can eat cauliflower. I can even have those cauliflower crusted pizzas. Those aren't bad.
Not bad.
I'm out on that.
I'm out on zucchini. Pizza. I'll be in on a. I'm in on a good solid cucumber, but not zucchini.
Yeah.
Not zucchini.
If the pesto sauce wasn't involved, I wouldn't be able to mow this down.
I got you. 888-957-9570. Rapid fire coming up. What's more likely to happen? Giants make the wild card or A's win the division? The A's win the division. That's a good question.
I want to hear from A's fans because they've been pounding us, saying, hey, we don't get enough love. We're hot. We're over here. We just swept the Mariners. We swept the Mariners. Talk about us. So A's fans.
They swept the White Sox, too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. The White Sox, yeah, they did. They're hot. Kelly Green jerseys, everything. Matt Chapman, I mean, Laureano.
Those are pretty sweet.
Those are sweet. I'm not going to lie. Those are nice.
Those are fire, as the kids would say. Absolute fire. All right. Let's do it.
It's time for Rapid Fire with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. Your chance to sell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.